I want to encourage you to find Luke 6:38. We have an outline there. We have the verse printed there for you. Today, in just a little while, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table, communion, all different things. But we celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us. And the bottom line is the generosity of God. We're remembering His generosity. And this verse that we're going to look at briefly this morning, very quickly, talks about generosity and how God blesses when we are like Him in that respect. And just another word while you're finding that, I also failed to get in the bulletin that we are going to have a business meeting after church this morning, about 5 or 10 minutes after we close our service this morning. We're going to come together and the 2011 budget, proposed budget, is before you, has been put before you last week, and we will be voting on that later today. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." It's probably one of the most misunderstood, not the most misunderstood verse in the Bible, but really kind of misunderstood sometimes. But Jesus is talking about those who are generous with their entire life, with their treasures and in all of their lives, just like we sang, "Here I am, Lord, take me, it's all of me, take my life, all of me, I hold back nothing." And when I give to the Lord that way, and when I give to others, when I'm generous, the question is, how is God generous back to me? This verse basically is saying that. When I'm generous and I obey the Lord and I give the way that He commands me to give and leads me, how does He bless me back? Well, I want to give you some things this morning. First of all, when I am generous, generosity will cause me to be more like Jesus. Because God is a generous God. God is a giver. Everything that we have is a gift from God. The very life, the very air that we breathe, it's a gift from God. And God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So God is a giver, and when I'm a giver, when I'm generous, it causes me to be more like Jesus. Second, generosity moves me closer to God. And you know, sometimes people get mad when the church starts talking about money. You know, we talked about it a little bit last Sunday, and if you've only been here last Sunday and this Sunday, you might think this pastor talks about money all the time. Well, the Bible talks about it, and Jesus has a lot to say about it, but sometimes people get mad when the church starts talking about money. They get mad because Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And your treasure is not where it ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so therefore you get mad about it. But wherever I put my money, that's where my heart is. If I put my money into entertainment, that's where my heart is. No matter what I say, that's where my heart is. If I put it all into my house, that's where my heart is. If I put my money into my car, that's where my heart is. Where you put your money is where your heart is. If you put your money with the Lord, it will always move you closer to Him. And if you want to learn how to get close to God, let me just come right out and say this. If you want to learn how to get close to God, tithe. Amen. That will draw you closer to God. In fact, Deuteronomy 14:23 says the purpose of tithing is not because God needs your money. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. So it moves you closer to God. Generosity not only causes you to be more like Jesus, not only does it move you closer to God, but it is a victory over greed. You know, the kind of society that we live in is a materialistic society. And advertisers are not even subtle about it anymore. They just come out and say it straight out. You can buy happiness. That's what advertisers say. But it's not true. But that's America. Life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. The problem with that is, even little kids are getting caught up in materialism and in greed. I read about the dad who was driving around with his little 3-year-old son, and his dad was shocked. It scared his dad to death to hear his 3-year-old son identify and recognize a Porsche. 3 years old. And our kids are learning from us. And how can you live in a materialistic world and not be a material girl? Well, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants us to enjoy what we have. Command them to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, first of all, it says command those who are rich. And so some of you says that's not speaking to me. But if you live in America, which I think most everybody here today lives in America, you're rich compared to the rest of the world. Even the poorest in America are rich compared to the way many people in many parts of the world live. And so God says to be generous in that way. And if people are always getting and getting and getting, what are our kids learning? If we as parents, all we do is we just drive ourselves to get and get and get, what are we teaching our children? We're teaching them to get and get and get and get. Instead of get and then give and get and give and get and give. That's what we want to teach our children. So the cure, the antidote to greed, the victory over greed is generosity. The fourth thing about generosity is it grows my faith. It grows my faith. If you want your faith to be strengthened, God uses that. He uses finances to test our faith. Now here it is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, where God says, bring your whole tithe to my storehouse. By the way, tithe means 10. It means 10% of your income. And says, so he says, bring the whole tithe to my storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, I dare you. This is the only place in the Bible that God says, test me in this and see what I will do. If you obey this promise, see what I will do. There are more promises in the Bible regarding generosity and giving than any other thing. And God talks more about giving and promises more about giving than anything else. Jesus talked more about giving than he did about heaven and hell. Jesus talked about heaven and hell, but he talked more about giving than he did those two subjects. It is the essence of the Christian life. God so loved the world that he gave. Giving gives God the chance to do miracles in our lives. So my giving grows my faith. The fifth thing, generosity, is something I can send on into heaven. I can send it on into heaven. And there's that saying, you can't take it with you, talking about your wealth, your money. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Now, the way you send it on ahead is by investing it into people who are going to heaven. That's how you send your riches, your treasures on into heaven ahead of you, is to invest it in people that are going there. Jesus said, store up treasure in heaven. How do you do that? Well, back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Give happily to those in need and always be ready to share whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. It's a secure investment. It's a safe investment. But it is also an investment that has the best rates as well. Jesus said, you store up treasure in heaven. And he says, when I give to somebody else, God accepts it as a gift to him. He says, give happily to those in need and be ready to share with others. So when I give in order that others can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, when I go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and give my life generously and I meet needs through that, then God says, I'm storing up treasure in heaven. You know, I think some people are going to get to heaven. You know, they've been singing about, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. And we sing about those mansions we've got in heaven. I think some of us are going to be surprised when we get to heaven. God's going to show us a little shack. Here's your shack. You say, well, what's going on here, God? I was expecting a mansion. And God's going to say, this is all the material you sent up for me to build with. He says, send it on ahead. Invest it in people who are going to heaven. And then a sixth thing about generosity is that generosity blesses me. It blesses me personally. It blesses you personally. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So whatever you give out, God says you get back. And if you're the only thing you're giving out is criticism, guess what you get back? Criticism. If the only thing that you're giving out is gossip, guess what you get back? Gossip. But if you're giving out encouragement, you're going to get encouragement back. It is the law of reaping and sowing. And if you're generous with your money, you're going to get money back. It's a law of life. The generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And then again, he says in Psalm 112, verse 5, God, or good will come to him who is generous. And if you're stingy, you're only hurting yourself, is what the Bible is saying. If you're not tithing, you're short-circuiting what God wants to do and how God wants to bless you in your life. God blesses you back. He blesses me back in return. Jesus said, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, we really don't believe that verse. If we believe that there's more happiness in giving than in receiving, we would be giving. We would give more. But Jesus said it, and it is true whether we believe it or not. Have you ever heard somebody say, you ought to give till it hurts? You know, we say that a lot. Maybe even heard this pastor say it. Sometimes we say things like that. But no, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. That's what Jesus is saying. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, there are only two kinds of people in life when you think about it. There are givers and there are takers. You're either one or the other. You're either giving and you're generous with your time, with your money, with your efforts, with your energy, your life, or you're a taker. And the more giving, the more generous people I know are the happiest people I know. You know, the root word of miserable is miser. The more I hold on to it, the more stingy I become. The more stingy I am with my time, with my energy, with my money, with tithe, with effort, the more unhappy I become. And so many people are thinking, well, if I get more, I'm going to be happy. And God says, no, it's the opposite. If you give more, the happier you will be. Jesus said that. And I think Jesus is the authority, don't you? It is more blessed to give than to receive. He says the way to happiness is not to amass personal wealth, but to give. A well-known psychiatrist in America said this, giving is a criterion of mental health. Generous people are rarely mentally ill. Now, those are the benefits of being generous. Now, the question becomes, how can I be like that? How can I be like God? How can I be a generous giver? Here it is. Write this in. I need to remember that God is more interested in the way I think than in the amount I give. So what is the right way to think about giving? I want to give you that real quickly. If you're going to give and be generous and you're going to get a reward out of it, how can you do that? First of all, you need to give voluntarily. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if the willingness is there, your gift is acceptable according to what you have. God doesn't expect you to give what you don't have. So it's according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. And so what God is saying, the amount is not important. God is not looking at the amount you give. God is looking more at the amount you have left after you give. People think God looks at how much I gave last week. I really impressed God. I tipped him pretty heavy last week. But God does not look at that. He doesn't look at how much. He looks at what's left over, and he looks at the attitude and the way you think about it. He evaluates your generosity not in light of how much you give, but how much you gave in light of how much he's given you. That is the comparison. And so God wants you to give willingly. 1 Corinthians 7:9, each one of us should give what he has decided in his heart ahead of time to give, not reluctantly or under pressure. Now, I want to say something. I've talked about this before, but this will save you from so many scams. If you will just obey this one thing, never give under pressure. Never give under pressure. The Bible says you are not to give under pressure. If you ever feel pressured to give, don't give, because you're not going to get any reward for it. I don't believe in pressure around here. I don't believe in pressuring you to give. If the money comes in from our regular tithes and offerings, then we can go on and we can do more in ministry. Can continue on. But if the money doesn't come in, then we won't do as much ministry. And so it is up to what God says to you. And the Bible says, give not reluctantly, not under pressure. And then, secondly, give with gratitude. Psalm 116 and verse 12. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Well, the short answer to that is you can't. No one of us could repay the Lord for all the goodness he's been given to us. But the fact is, if God never did anything else for me, if he never did anything else for you except save your soul, that's all. That's enough. And we still need to be generous, and we still need to give with gratitude. If he never did one more thing, he's done so much for me today that I ought to give just out of gratitude. You know, we're saved. That is the biggest gift. But you know, it's still a gift to live in America today. You know, were you born in America? If you were born in America, think about this. What if you'd been born in a country that was in the middle of a famine? What if that had happened to you? Many people across the world that's happened to. It's a privilege that God has given you if you were born in America. With privilege comes responsibility. Give, Luke 6:38 says, and it shall be given unto you. Freely have you received, freely give. And every time you give an offering or give your tithe to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. You're saying to God, I'm so grateful. And whether you do anything else for me, Lord, in the future, I'm giving this to you because you've helped me. And you've helped me earn this. What you have in your pocket, what you have in your bank account, God helped you earn that. And you say, well, I earned this with my own hands. Well, let me ask you the question. Who gave you your hands? You say, well, I started this business in my own mind, and it's been through my mind, through the brains that I've had, that this business has grown. Well, who gave you your brains? Who gave you your mind? It has all come from God. And so if he did nothing else for us, it's enough to give with gratitude and have that attitude of gratitude. And so when I tithe and give the first 10% back to God, it's not like I'm giving God 10%. You know, because God owns it all. God's letting me keep 90%. That's the way I want to look at it. It's all his. And I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the Lord. And then the third way to be a generous giver is to give cheerfully. We talked about this last week. The Bible says, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I read a quote that said, God loveth a cheerful giver, but he also receiveth from a grouch. Do you remember the bumper sticker that said, honk if you love Jesus? Then there was another one that came out after that, tithe if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk. Hit home too close for some of you. In the New Testament, when they gave an offering, they just had so much fun. We get to give an offering. What a privilege that is. In today's society, when we take the offering, it's so many times the low point. Everything just comes, okay, we're going to stop everything right now. We're going to take up the offering as if, you know, it's not a part of our worship. It is worship. They were hilarious in the New Testament when they gave. And when I don't feel too joyful about giving, when I start to give and I write out the offering check and I start saying, I really could use this money on XYZ, when I start feeling that way and I don't have the joy in my heart for giving, I just go back and remind myself of the six things that giving and generosity does for me. It makes me more like Jesus. It draws me closer to God. It is the victory over greed. It grows my faith. It is an investment for eternity, and it's going to bless me in return. And when I remember those things, then the joy returns. And I say, thank you, Lord, that I can give. And some of you may not have learned to tithe yet, but many of you have learned, and you've tithed for a long, long time, and you even give above that tithe, and you understand what I'm saying, and you give cheerfully, and you don't give reluctantly, because you know and remember what God has done for you. If you want to receive a reward for your generosity, the fourth thing is to give expectantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, this is the law that every farmer lives by. If you're not a farmer, but you put out a garden, you live by this law. You understand this law. And the farmer lives and dies by it. And when a farmer wants to plant a crop or harvest a crop, all he knows he has to do is sow. He doesn't sow 1 acre and expect to reap 5 acres. He doesn't sow 10 acres and expect to reap 100 acres. Because wherever he sows, that is where he will reap. He's saying you plant the seed. God's going to provide for your need. He's saying you get to decide every day of your life how much God is going to bless your life that day. And you, right now, you and I, both of us, we are deciding, all of us together, we're deciding how much God is blessing us right now in this moment, in our families, and in our lives. You sow generously, you reap generously. So what do you need more of? Do you need more time? Sow some time. Do you need more energy? Sow some of the energy, that little bit of energy you've got left. That's the law of the harvest. You need more money? Sow some money. You give, and God says you will receive. But if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you reap generously. Now, people will say, well, that sounds real good, Pastor. I'm not sure if I ever believe that. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what God says. Given, it will be given unto you. And then there are others who will say, well, I believe that, Pastor, but I'm going to wait till God gives me the money first, and then I will give. No, God says wrong. You've got it backwards. First, you step out in faith, and you give the way I've commanded you to give, and you're obedient to me, and then God says you will reap what you sow. And just watch what God will do. You know, you cannot outgive God. You just cannot do that. And the more you give, the more God gives back to you. You know, there are examples of people in my life that I've seen over the years and here at Big Spring Baptist Church that I could point to that God has blessed their lives because they've been obedient to God in that area of giving. The Bible says that the essence of the Christian life, now listen to this, the essence of it, the very foundation of the Christian life, not a minor activity that we put over here in the corner and we just go over here every now and then, we participate in that activity. This is the essence of the Christian life. I want you to listen to some key words in the Bible. One of the key words in the Bible is the word believe. Would you all agree that's a key word in the Bible? It's a key word, believe. It's mentioned 272 times. Another key word in the Bible is the word pray. We started our service with prayer this morning because that's a key word in the Bible. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It's mentioned 371 times. The word love. For God so loved the world. That word is used 714 times. Now the word give. The word give. 2,162 times. You tell me where the emphasis is in the Bible. It's in giving. It's in generosity. And if you're going to study the Bible, eventually you have to study giving. Because God started off by saying, I love the world so much that I gave everything that I have, the very best that I have. And God wants us to become like Him. It's not how little can I give and still be a Christian. It's not how little I can give and still call myself a Christian. It says, good will come to the one who is generous. I should be constantly looking for ways to give more and more because you cannot outgive God. You plant a seed and you reap a harvest. Now I want to ask you the question. Here's a little review. Wouldn't you like to become more like God? I'd like for you to. And probably your husband or wife would like for you to become more like God too. I know my wife would like for me to be more like Jesus. And I'd like for her to be more like Jesus. And wouldn't you like to be closer to God? You say, well, it just feels like God's a million miles away. Feels like, you know, I just can't get my prayers above the ceiling. The ceilings have just kind of brassed over and like God is so far away. Well, God says, if you will, I will. God wants you to move closer to Him. And when you move closer to Him, He'll move closer to you. But God says the way you move closer to me is obey me in the area of being generous and giving. He'll move closer and you'll move closer. Wouldn't you like to have a victory over greed, over materialism? Wouldn't you like to have your faith grow? Wouldn't you like to start investing for eternity, sending it on ahead into heaven so when you get there, your reward is going to be great? Not so you can stick your chest out and boast, but so that Jesus gets all the glory. Laying up treasures in heaven. Wouldn't you like to be blessed in return? A generous man will prosper, and there's more happiness giving than receiving. Do you want those things? They will happen when you start obeying God and doing what He commands you to do in that area. We're going to ask our class that's going to pray during the invitation time. If you would just come on, our musicians, if you'll come on, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And as God has spoken to your heart, I know that even before the service started this morning, even before you knew the subject of this message, that God was speaking to your heart. And I want to encourage you to come as we sing this song and lay before Jesus and before this congregation what God has been doing in your life this past week and the decision you've made for Jesus. Some of you need to come and trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You come and do that. Some of you need to come and rededicate your life. Some of you need to come and say, I want to be baptized. I'm a believer now. I've invited Jesus in my heart, but I've been baptized before, but I wasn't a believer when I was baptized, and now I am. And I want to come and say, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord in the waters of baptism. Maybe you need to come and join Big Spring Baptist Church. You've been coming for several months or maybe even years. And this morning, God's leading you to come and say, I want to unite with this congregation in a formal way. I'm standing up and saying, I believe that God is here, that God's working in this church. I want to be a part of what He's doing here at Big Spring. You come as we stand and sing together.
Oh,
ask you to be seated, and we can finish filling that out later. Madison and Michaela, would you all come and stand with me for just a moment? Let's share with your church family the decision that you all made this morning. Michaela Dover and Madison Dover come this morning for membership at Big Spring Baptist Church, and both of them have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they want to come and let you know that, and they want all of the world to know that because they want to follow the Lord in baptism, and so they come this morning. Amen. And I know that you will want to affirm that, and so all those in favor of supporting Michaela and Madison as members here at Big Spring Baptist Church, would you say amen? Amen and hallelujah and praise the Lord. God bless you all. If y'all want to go back to your seats for just a moment, and after the service, we're going to invite you all to come and just rejoice with them. We're going to have the Lord's Supper, and then we'll close our service after that, and they'll be going back to their seats. We're going to ask our deacons to come forward, and as they're coming, let me just say a word. Actually, I'd like to read some scripture for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, as we come to the Lord's table. Just some things that we need to keep at the forefront of our mind, not only about what it means, but how to approach the Lord's table as believers. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he had some instruction for them, and he said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, Jesus took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" And then in verse 27, he says, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Now that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died." Now here is the instruction. He says, when we come to the Lord's table, we need to examine ourselves. First of all, are we believers? Are you a believer? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And do you know that beyond the shadow of a doubt? And so you take a spiritual inventory by examining yourself. And secondly, by as a believer, you know that you're a believer, but you also ask the Lord, "Lord, is there any sin in my life that I'm trying to hide from you that is there and I've not confessed it?" And say, "Lord, just help me to know what that is." And as soon as the Lord brings it to your mind, just say, "Yes, Lord, that's sin. And I agree with you. Would you forgive me, Lord?" And he will. He says he will. We'll confess that sin that way. And so that's how we come to the Lord's table. And then I think it is also a time, as we think about what God has done for us, how thankful we need to do. I think it's a time, at least in my life, and I think for all of us, to rededicate my life to Jesus and just say, "Jesus, here's my life. Take me. Take my life. Take all of me. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, here am I. Lord, I'm just rededicating my life, resubmitting my life to you 100%. And then, a very important thing, Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. He said, if when you come to worship, whatever part of worship it may be giving, it may be the Lord's Supper, it may be praying, whatever it is, and you're reminded that you have something or somebody has something against you, Jesus says, leave that worship service and go. Maybe they're in the worship service. You go to that person and you make it right as best you can. And so reconciliation is the fourth thing that he talks about. So let's remember those things as we come to the Lord's table this morning.